Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Season 7, Episode 156. It's like the fun of going to the circus as we join Troy, Sandy, and Nolan as they talk about all of the free presentation resources available. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Sandra Johnson, and Nolan Hames.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in hot and humid Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, so we got to talk about what's happening. And speaking of hot and humid, Nolan, I just got back from Hawaii,
yes,
where it is hot and humid.
Hot and humid, but it's supposed Hawaii. To be hot and humid there.
It was a fantastic event I did, but it was one of the ones where it was like a, it was called the lawn pavilion. So it was basically a ballroom where three walls are all glass and they can open up. Yeah, all three walls were open up because it was Hawaii. But, you know, I had to sit in the sun all morning long because the sun came in. It was just hot and humid all day long.
Which island were you on?
It was on the Big Island. It was fantastic. So that was a good meeting.
Just awful having to go to Hawaii for work and getting it all paid for and being on
the beach. I zipped back home because we have this releases on Tuesday. Monday, because we're recording a few days early, was my daughter's wedding. So
congratulations.
Awesome. I'm now a wedding recovering father at this point. So thank you very much. It's a great thing. It's just design. We are doing so much. I mean, it's just great, but it's because all these events have come back. We're actually doing more print design now than we have in the past several years, I would say, because we do a lot of event branding. So we're doing large format signage, we're doing name badges, we're doing agendas, we're doing invites. I mean, so yeah, we're coordinating so much good design work.
Do you always do you have printers you work with? Is it your responsibility, or do you just send files off and have?
Depends on the project. We always supply printer ready files, which is the phrase we use. In other words, these aren't just files; these are all everything is
but
in there.
But you get specs though from someone.
Try to.
Okay.
For this particular one, we've actually been doing most of the printing through our vendors, not directly, but we have.
So you have good relationships with printers.
We do. We have our direct relationships.
It's funny. Like it's not really a thing anymore for young designers to get these relationships with printers, because print is kind of going away. But I always say, like, you have to have a good printer, you have to have a good relationship, and they will make you look good. Like, you know, good printers and good relationships have saved me, you know, multiple times. And
print is going away, Nolan, is true. The amount of print is lower. Yeah, Lori
still exists.
I just throw this out there. If you're a design school associated with one, you should listen in, because a very seasoned designer who started as print pre-production just went on a rant about how design programs today do not prepare designers for the world of print. She basically had to have a sit down and education on what bleed is and how to design it and what the size is and where to even spec it within. Well, actually, that wasn't it. Everybody knew how to spec it, but they really had no concept of what it was. So they were just kind of putting it in there. We had these random numbers like, why is this a quarter inch? It's supposed to be 0.125 inch all the way around. You know, why is this? You know, we had just these randomness. It was just literally, she finally just said, okay, I think I understand. It's because design school told these people to say, yes, I understand it. And then they would just go for it. We had non-printer ready files, which is a hallmark of us. So anyways,
unfortunately, that doesn't surprise me. I also think design schools are not teaching the software in the right way either, because those are technical things. I feel like they're teaching the art, which is obviously important, but there's a whole lot of craft and technical, you know, expertise involved that shouldn't just be on the job learning. Like you got to learn some of that.
I agree. So Nolan, what's happening with you?
Well, I'm getting ready to head out to San Francisco this weekend to speak to my astrophysicists that I speak with every year, but we've been on a hiatus the last couple of years. So I'm really happy to be getting back. And
are you presenting, or are you?
I am presenting.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I have a good relationship with the organization, but in the past we've seen the mistake of having me be the first person speaking, And unfortunately, they've scheduled me to be the first person again, because the problem is they put me as the first person speaking. And then the rest of the conference, everybody is staying up late, redoing their presentations because they feel they're not up to snuff. So I thought we were going to move me to the end. But anyway, so.
Well, they were listening to you at least. And
yeah,
they
exactly.
the audience, but it's a nightmare for the planners, right?
Right. But I'm happy to be going out there talking to like people so much smarter than I am. So that's next weekend or this
fantastic
coming weekend.
Wow. Sandy, what is up with you? What's happening out in the Midwest?
Oh goodness, well, it's summer. It's beautiful. It's just wonderful here. I mean, we every single day of the 3 months of warm weather that we have, we embrace. It's wonderful. But that aside, like you, Troy, it's design. And it's runs the gamut from a print book that I just got a project for yesterday, board meeting presentations, shareholder presentations, sales presentations. Nolan and I were just talking about an interactive presentation that each of us are working on and troubleshooting that. It's been really fun. I'm enjoying the variety of things that we're working on.
Is the print piece you're doing in PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yep. I'm finishing up one right now.
There you go.
Hey, on the news front, we'll cover these really just kind of quickly because I do want to get into our topic. And I got a feeling we may have a lot to talk about here because our lists keep growing. But I had a really cool one, but this is also very timely. Like, okay, so let me explain. TechSmith, makers of Snagit and Camtasia, two of my favorite programs. They have a free digital event, and it is actually today, release day. So this is very, very timely. But I thought I would throw it in there. The event is called Level Up. And man, its branding is designed with fantastic 8-bit arcade style graphics. It totally jumped out at me. It's very, very unique, very fun. If you guys haven't seen it, the link is over in our notes. Go check it out. As a side note, and this is purely a coincidence, by the way, there was no pre-planning and I'm not doing anything else along these lines. On the PowerPoint blog, on my blog, we have a series of free PowerPoint templates. So everybody's welcome to download. These are full, real robust templates, but this time they're all based on arcade games. I had found this great article is the 20 best arcade, all-time arcade games, like true arcade games. And so we had everybody in the design team design their own templates. So that series started last week. It goes through this week. And it's just really funny. It's like, because we have a whole bunch of 8-bit graphic style PowerPoint templates because, you know, they're based on these. Anyways.
Do you know what I love, Troy, is the challenges that you give your designers. Which has been a million years ago, but we never encountered that in the agencies I worked with.
Well, you got to have a little fun. By the way, I chose Space Invaders. I did the classic Space Invaders as my template. I'm very excited about it. So the link for that, the PowerPoint blog, I guess I'll throw a link into there. But this TechSmith thing is there. And I'm signed up. I'm very excited. They've got a lot of really good internal information, a couple of demos, but I wish I had not closed that webpage. It's something to look at, definitely. What else we got going on in news? Presentation industry news.
Yeah, I have another free event, but this one's for Presentation Guild members. So you have to be a member, but once you are, it's free. there is the new Power Team. We've talked about them a lot. They're the makers of NX Power Light, the compressor.
Slidewise.
I wanted to describe Power Light.
It's mainstay. It compresses everything.
Mainstay.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. The compression tool and Slidewise that we all have on our PowerPoint ribbons. Anyway, they're doing a Presentation Guild sponsored event on August 24. So free. Guild members, you don't know about it? It's there for you.
I did not know that. So that's going on my calendar right now. Last thing, Microsoft's earnings. I talk about this every once in a while. They came out last week or the week before. Sales were up 12%, earnings up 2%. They're doing really well. But as is Wall Street, like, hey, everything's up,
disappointing.
Disappointing, right. That's the headline is disappointing. We didn't quite meet the estimates. And then their stock goes up, 5% on top of it. But the thing I wanted to point out with, it's hard to separate out Microsoft 365, but it's part of what they call cloud computing. And that share increased, the revenue sales increased 28% in the last quarter, up to $25 billion. And it is the second largest category of Microsoft revenue. So again, it's hard to, like, what else is cloud computing? I'm not so sure. But yeah, Microsoft 365, or as the New York Times still calls it, Office 365. That's still, yeah, I noticed that. So that's still a hard thing. But yeah, so Microsoft 365 is still responsible for a lot of money.
Very cool. Microsoft, yeah.
Three is almost always a good thing. And where we're going to go with this is Nolan Hames Creative has a list of, I don't know, dozens of free presentation
hundreds
presentation resources. And we will link to that in the show notes for certain, because I think everybody should access it. There is a lot of effort put into that. It is fantastic. So what we are going to do is bring that life. or at least the concept of that, by having a conversation about presentation resources, all of them being on the free side. And then we're going to, basically, I think we've loosely gathered these around some categories in like presentation software, image resources, media resources, PowerPoint add-ins, training, books, podcasts, a few others, and let's go.
Okay, and we are going to miss a lot of stuff, I'm sure. Right. So stuff we miss, please email us, let us know.
Social media, we'll tell us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. People love to point out mistakes that other people make. topic number one is software. So again, as Troy said, like we're going to try to cover things that you don't have to pay for. Right? Because we put out a lot of money, you know, for a lot of stuff. But there are things, I mean, the big things staring at us in the face, Google Slides. Right now, of course, you can pay their enterprise levels and all that kind of stuff. But for, in general, the average user does not have to pay for Google Slides, and the average user doesn't, well, anybody actually doesn't have to pay for Keynote. You just have to buy your $3,000 Mac computer. But once you get that, because I'm looking at the Mac Studio now, then Keynote, they used to charge like $30 for or something. Now they're just like free. But again, as we've talked about, be wary of any software that doesn't charge, because they may just not be updated or anyway. But there's so we got Google Slides, we got Keynote. Open Office is something that I always forget about because I never use, but it's out there, which is basically like a free version of Microsoft Office, which I've always wondered, but I don't know. I used to use it. There used to be a workaround.
Open source.
The open source, yeah. So it is, you don't pay for it.
Okay, on the software front, I'm also going to include PowerPoint. You can get the working version of PowerPoint through the web app version. It's robust. If you have a subscription to one of their software options, one of their email options, you get a little more robust. There's a, you know, obviously a subscription option. And then it's also available on mobile. They give you full fidelity for viewing, which is phenomenal. So you can log into any computer and see it. So PowerPoint is in there. So pretty much all the major presentation software does have a free component. I'm going to also switch topics, video editing, because video is a big component of visual presenting. Microsoft has acquired Clipchamp. I just did a whole series on my blog going through it because I think this is a really phenomenal bit of software. It's a company out of Australia, so it's not a brand new, like Microsoft invented it. They just bought it, added it to their inventory. Windows 11, which I just moved to. I'm on a new computer as of a week now, and I'm on the Windows 11 interface officially. Struggling with some things, liking some others, but Clipchamp popped up as a thing. So anyways, they do have a very robust video editing software option now. It does lots, and that's completely free. Again, it has a subscription level, so you can get extra stuff.
Do you have to still, even though, so it's owned by Microsoft, but you still have to go to Clipchamp and set up a Clipchamp account?
You do not as of last week. As a matter of fact, I have a Clipchamp account because I needed it when I found out about it, but it is, it'll now take your Microsoft credentials. It's being integrated fairly rapidly. And what's interesting is you can also now, I'm going to check this really quick.
And
you
is it web-based?
That is a tricky question. Yes, it is, but there is a download component to it, which is what I do. So it opens up because I don't want to be the web-based version is every time you take a video file, you add it to your bin, your media area, it uploads it. I'm like, well, geez, I want to work local. So it does have a local component. It works great. And now it is available within the Microsoft Store. So if you're on a Windows computer, you just type in Clipchamp, one word, and it says Microsoft Corporation. They have a new animated logo. It's very cool. Okay. Anyways, that's on the free side.
And then it's free.
Yeah.
It's through Microsoft, through if you have a 365 account. Okay.
Yeah, they call it plus offers of in-app purchases. In other words, they have upsells within it, but the base version, very, very cool. I'm going to throw out a couple more really quick here on the software side. I use Portals, which is also a Microsoft components on GitHub. So Microsoft didn't create it, but that's a way to get to, if you have multiple Teams logins, Microsoft Teams, I use that to get into all my accounts, because you can't have, one of the dilemmas with Teams is if I'm on my TLC Creative one and one of the corporations that we're associated with pings me, I won't see it until I can't interact unless I switch my tenant, which is a big problem. So Portals, you can just open up, you can have multiple versions of Teams. I do like that. I use, and Nolan, I know there's an equivalent on the Mac. I use a program called Instant Eyedropper. It just sits in my little tool tray. It's actually a button on my Stream Deck. And it's basically a color picker. It picks up the color from anything on your screen, anywhere, gives you the hex value. You can change it to be CMYK or RGB. I use it all the time. And it's super, super wonderful.
Now, you use it within PowerPoint, or like, what do? You get just to get the information and then you write it down? Or?
Well, no, it copies it. So you pick whatever you want and it copies it to your pasteboard. So in PowerPoint, if I go to more colors, I could paste it in as a color. If I'm in design, web design mode, I can pick up the hex value.
But can't you color sample things from outside of PowerPoint?
You can.
Yeah. So like you're in it and then it'll take anything on a screen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to hold down the, I'm looking at my keyboard. I don't have PowerPoint open. Is it the control key that lets you escape outside of the PowerPoint window boundaries? You can. Yes. Okay. I just like this one because it's universal. I use it everywhere. Okay. And it's a free one. And then the last one I'm going to mention on the software side, again, I have the K-Lite video codec pack installed on all of our computers.
Never heard of it. What is it?
K-Lite has been around forever. It is literally all the video codecs. So every now and then you get a video that won't play and it's some obscure, I work in med device stuff. Right. So, Panasonic makes imaging equipment. Well, they have their own video codec that you have to have the Panasonic video codec for med devices, medical devices, things that record like angiograms, heart surgery and stuff. So anyways, free download. It just gives you like basically 300 different video codecs. I'd never have a problem playing a video on our computers because of that. So Sandy, give us some software options.
Okay. Well, I'll start with Canva, although most people in our industry probably use Canva more so for social media type of things, but it is free.
Well, I think we should say it's freemium. Right?
Yes.
I think we'll try to identify things to like some of the things we're talking about today are freemium. So there's a free version. And then, of course, you can pay more for something else. But
and Canva kind of falls into presentation software as well. They have a presentation mode.
Right.
I'm not a huge advocate of it because it basically creates flat art. But they definitely have a really great system for presentation development.
And beautiful design.
Oh, it's design-wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. What else?
Okay. So I also had PowerPoint online / mobile, Microsoft 365, as it were. I added the link to the notes. However, I just want to make it aware that people are calling this Office on the Web. So, I mean, not people. Microsoft is calling it Office on the Web.
They're people at Microsoft.
People at Microsoft. Right. So it's confusing. Click the link. It is, of course, we all know that Microsoft 365 full bore is a subscription service, but you can play with it online if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Other useful things for presentation, remove background, remove.bg. If you need to quickly, we all know it, the remove background tool in PowerPoint.
That's the online one where you upload it to the cloud and it does it there. It's not a local program. Yeah,
I believe it. Yeah, so remove background's pretty good. Cloud Convert is something that I used to use.
More. I remember that.
But it's still around. It's still working. If you ever have to just like convert basically anything to anything, it's just a good, real quick web-based tool. And I do believe it's still free. And then this is one I just discovered. ilovepdf.com. Have you seen this?
Nope.
I've not heard of this one.
For everything PDF. So if you need to edit a PDF, and it's all free, edit a PDF, convert it, take a slide out, you know, take a page out, combine PDFs and do a lot of stuff that you only get with Acrobat Pro or DC, whatever they're calling it. So very often clients don't have Acrobat DC. They just have the sort of free reader. And they're like, I can't combine two, or I can't delete this page, or I can't do that, or whatever. So this is a nice, quick, free service to do that for you.
Oh, very cool. And just a side note, Cloud Convert works. We use it fairly often, especially when I'm on the road. Yeah. And I use it to convert Keynote files into PowerPoint while I'm on the road. If I don't have a Mac with me, because I only bring a Windows computer generally, it has a pretty good conversion, so you can get the content into... you know, a Keynote file is given to you and you're on a Windows machine, you are literally no options now. You know, we normally have Macs around. So anyways, yeah, so it's around. I think I put a blog post out within the last year about it as well. So definitely it does all kinds of stuff. You know what? I'm going to list one more on the software side because I'm not sure where it would belong, but actually I'm going to list two more now that I think about it. On the software side, Zoom is a free, I don't know, what does that fall under? Does that fall under software? But Zoom has a free, everybody should have a Zoom account.
Install it.
It's the free account I think gives you up to a 40-minute meeting to host yourself. And of course, if you're joining somebody else's meeting, that's all free.
Does it cut you off after 40 minutes?
It does. Yeah. I guess Microsoft Teams is free because on Windows 11, I've got this chat thing, which is basically Teams chat, and I can't get it off my taskbar. So they have.
I know.
I've got the Teams icon right next to it. I don't want this bar there, and I literally can't figure out how to get rid of it, but it is Microsoft Teams. And then as the last one I was going to mention, again, I don't know if this falls under the software thing, but I'm going to go with it. We're using Zencastr for all of our recordings, all audio recordings, very high level. Mm-hmm. They have a free account. It just limits the number of people that can be in there. And the duration, I think, I don't know, we're on the paid plan, but anyway, Zencastr is in there. So,
Yeah. Zencastr is amazing. We've been using it since the very beginning.
Day one.
Right. Like
when it was beta.
Beta. It was given to me by a professional voiceover actor who said, you should probably use this service. I'm using it to record all of my commercials. I'm like, really? Well, what's that? And that's how we got in on the beta program.
Cool. Excellent.
All right. Let's talk about stock imagery. This is huge. And this was sort of the genesis. You mentioned it up front, Troy. I've got my stock image and resource guide. You can get it at nolanhamescreative.com/goodies. I try to keep it updated. It has both free, freemium, and paid things. But there is, when it comes to stock imagery, there's more and more coming out these days. You can go to that. You can go download that sheet, and we'll link to it in the show notes. But just some of my favorites: Unsplash is probably the best free stock site. Even though I pay iStock every month, I still end up going Unsplash, which now of course is owned by iStock. But so far, it's still okay. Pexels and Pixabay; those are the three that I tell trainees, like, you want free imagery, Unsplash, Pexels, and Pixabay. Those are sort of I think the three big ones. But you've got like Morgfile and RawPixel and FreePix. So, you know, there's others out there. Take a look at that sheet. Everything's hyperlinked, and if you see something missing, let me know. But PowerPoint has, as I always, I do this in every training that I give. PowerPoint has a really robust and growing collection of professional stock imagery right within the program. You just go to Insert Pictures, Stock Photos, and they keep adding more and more. And they always put a little new icon next to the new images. And that
would not be available in the free version. That counts as their premium features. So it's, even though it's not a feature designer presentation, they include it. I agree. It's a very robust library. Of course, like all image libraries, it becomes dated, but they are putting a good investment in there, and I use their icon resource quite often, actually.
And it is sourced from some pretty good places. If you come to one of my trainings, I'll let you in on the secret of where it comes from. They don't advertise it, but yeah, it's really good. It's a really good collection. But what about like non-image resources, icons, vectors, other?
Sure, I'll get into that. I just wanted to add, and I rarely use this, but Creative Commons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That site is free. It comes with, you know, you have to document the source, and there's certain ways you have to do that, but read the rules.
It's always been confusing because there's Wiki Commons too, which is part of that. I very often go there. I just went there the other day to get a picture, a high-res picture of Einstein. So I'll often go the Creative Commons route when I'm looking for like a public figure, mm-hmm. because you don't find that stuff on Unsplash right. or iStock.
Or if you do, you have to, it's for editorial use only.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That aside, now going on to Vector, of course, the Noun Project, right? What is it's $39 a year now for a subscription, unlimited use, but they also have free.
It hasn't gone up in years.
No.
And it's an amazing value.
So because I have a subscription, I don't understand the free part of it.
Well, okay, so it's freemium. You can use it for free. You're supposed to give attribution for each icon.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
That's my understanding. So, you know, for $40, you don't have to worry about, you know, putting little from the Noun Project at the bottom.
But moving on, we have IconsDB, Find Icons, Flat Icons. All of these are on Nolan's list, right? And we'll include these in the links for them.
So I'm going to add to it, but I also have a conversation around images. But I was just going to say a couple of the freemium sites out there. Vector Easy is really good. And then there's several of them for videos and stuff, but you know, they kind of fall under the same ones, you know, Unsplash, Pexels, Pixabay. You know, they also have video components, a lot of them. But let me ask you a question on this. Where do you, specifically Sandy and Nolan, where do you use these resources as opposed to, you know, one of the paid sites? I'm curious if there's a rationale of when you would choose a free version as a design studio over a, you know, paid version.
For what? For imagery and like icons and
things? Sure, yeah. Let's go with imagery. Easy enough.
I've only done it once, and that was when I was laying out a book for a client. And that was my entree into InDesign. Mm-hmm. And he, even though I purchased stock photography for that specific use, they did not feel comfortable, and I had to use Creative Commons for everything.
Nolan?
Yeah. So similarly, I do have a couple clients that like to make their presentations Creative Commons. And so in that case, everything going in, it's like garbage in, garbage out, like everything going mm-hmm. in has to be Creative Commons. And I have to explain that over and over and over to them. Has to start as Creative Commons. So that's sometimes I'll do that. But I use Unsplash all the time just because I like the curation and I like the style. I mean, there's some like very cool, there's a lot of cool artists and photography on there that honestly you don't get on iStock. So if I'm looking for something just, I like to patronize them just because I think it's an amazing site. And then other times if I honestly can't find something, you know, in a certain place, I'll start going down the list and like, all right, what does IconsDB have? What does Find Icons? Like,
okay. And this is exactly where I was going, is because I don't want to consider myself a lazy designer, but I don't want to go to 9 different websites to find it. So we just, you know, we have a pretty robust annual budget towards all media assets for design. So, I mean, we use Adobe Stock right now, and it's got billions of options within it. So, and it's always being curated because they basically buy another one of these companies and add to it.
So, I mean, I'll give you a quick use case on icons. Like if I need an icon, Noun Project, I'll go to the Noun Project, or I'll go to my own collection. But then if I'm not quite finding something, I'll go to iStock and look there. Mm-hmm. And then if I need like a whole bunch of icons that all have to be the same style, I'll probably go to iStock and get sticker sheets and look for the same artist.
Okay.
But if I really like, God, I just can't find, like, I was looking for an icon of the Hoover Dam years ago, and I went everywhere and I couldn't find it, and I ended up making it myself. So,
well, there's a resource as well. That is,
yeah.
Okay, let's go to a different topic, like PowerPoint add-ins, one of my favorites.
Sure. What's the number one that comes to your mind, guys? Brightslide, right? Yeah, exactly. And we talk about it at least every time.
At least every show.
Exactly. So that's on our list. One that I bring up a lot, part of it is because I helped with the design, not the design, but the functionality of it, is Breakpoint. It's a countdown clock. Every so often you'll see on the news group, someone's going to ask, how can I do a countdown clock? Well, these guys have it as an add-in into PowerPoint, and it gives you a weather report. So it's kind of fun. Like if you're in a conference, you can have the countdown clock, you can have the outside weather, you can have quotes, inspirational quotes. It's a fun little add-in. How about you, Nolan?
Talk time is my favorite free add-in, and that I literally can't live without it. And I mm-hmm. wish more people knew about it and used it. This was developed by Jamie Garrock and I, and it just it lets you tag. I've talked about it before, but it lets you tag your slides with times or record your presentation, like automatically record the time. So you can just time management. You hide a slide, it tells you what your running time is. You add a slide in. It's just, it's amazing. So that's Talk Time. And then of course, Steve Rinsberg's Thor is a small but incredibly useful tool for PC only. Talk Time and Thor are also only on the PC. But we all use those. Troy, what do you have?
Well, you took my number one, which was Thor, which is a position hammer. We call it because the icon is a hammer. So we just call it the all-powerful Thor. I believe Echo named it, but it's a phenomenal tool. And it's actually an extraction from his larger starter set. He just made it a standalone. Neo Ipsen's a pretty fun one. If you want to throw in Lorem Ipsum, just generic text, I like that one because it's an add-in directly in PowerPoint. You know, there's some interesting ones when you go into the Microsoft Store because there's multiple levels of add-ins. There's the install ones, and then there's these web-based ones, which they have a name of, I can't think of. But there's some interesting in there, like QR code makers, survey type things, some web viewer. There's other ones in there, but they're generally free for the most part. So I can't say that I have tons of them installed. That's how I actually get Noun Project installed, is through the store. And I hate their new icon. If you look on the ribbon, it's just this gibberish because it's so small a pixel count. But I think everything else has been covered because Brightslide was going to be my number one to talk about on the free level.
Cool. How about online webinars and training? Again, don't have to pay for. Training Magazine Network has archived all of their webinars. I've done some. Mike Parkinson has done one. Has done a bunch of them. There's a lot of people. Richard Goring has a bunch up there. So there's really a lot of good stuff up there. So just go to Training Magazine Network. / PowerPoint and you'll see all the stuff there.
Okay. There's Bright Carbon's resource page, a bunch of freebies on that page. So just search on for resources, click on resources, and you'll find a lot of options there. Now this might go on to a different resource like video channels, Troy. But Spotlight Impact Data Design they have awesome. Nick has awesome videos, training videos, focusing on PowerPoint and data visualization.
Cool. You know, I was going to go down the route of just YouTube in general, because I mean, there's so many good training options out there. And we've been often said, hey, why don't you guys take your content and put it on YouTube? And I don't know, just because I don't have somebody to do it. So all of it's housed on our blog and under our, we put all the videos on our own private back end. But, and Nolan, you have a really good YouTube channel. I should call that one out.
Got to do more videos. I don't do.
I had no idea, Nolan. I'm really embarrassed. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, people still find some stuff. There's some widely viewed videos there for sort of hacks and secrets to doing certain things.
And on YouTube, the other one I would put in there is Nuts and Bolts. Taylor Kronquist. He has a great channel. Most of his stuff he does it on a YouTube basis as well. So I'm just kind of going with the video thing is for me YouTube. And there are a couple of great channels in the presentation realm right there. How about books?
Books, yeah. So there's not a ton out there, but there's some free things you can get. Nancy Duarte's Resonate, nobody knows, but you can get it for free. You just go to duarte.com, and again, we're going to have the links for this, but there's a digital version of
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can get it's like an interactive digital thing, whatever, but yeah, it's the book. So you can get Resonate there. You can, of course, buy a physical copy if you want. And Robert Gaskins, who was the creator of PowerPoint, he wrote a book on the history of PowerPoint called Sweating Bullets. And that is, again, you can buy a real copy, but you can also download a PDF direct from his website at robertgaskins.com. And I swear one of these days I am going to read it. I have the PDF download. I just need to,
That would be a good one. It's foundational. I mean, it's great information. It just is an information thing, but it's a fun read as well. Sandy, what do you got in the realm of books that are free?
I have, well, this I may be stretching it, okay, but there is the Guild State of the Industry Report.
Okay.
And that is the not quite annual report on salary and benefits and all things important to the presentation business. There's also the Guild Presentation Industry Standards. These are free to everyone. You don't have to be a member. And Synapsis Creative eBooks. You know, Synapsis, Tom Howell's company in Australia. They offer eBooks to download for free to learn a lot of tricks and tips.
They are really good. That's a great one because there's actually quite a few in there. That's a good one. So I was holding myself off to the end because I couldn't think of anything on the free side. But what I did write is LinkedIn has so many good articles. That's I do scroll through it when I'm traveling or on downtime, and I find so many good reads. It also generally links me to other content that a lot of them I end up buying. So I don't have any books per se. I didn't stretch it quite the way you thought, a little bit bigger, Sandy, which was great. I wish I would have thought there. But I did write just LinkedIn. Just type in presentation, connect to a few people in the presentation arena, and you end up with so much good stuff. So how about this one? How about we've done video, we've done reading. How about other podcasts in the presentation space more specifically?
Anybody? Sure. Client of mine, James Antra of Shuffler, he has the Presentation Hell podcast, in which he talks with corporate executives about what can happen when you don't have a good presentation strategy. He talks about PowerPoint being a part of your corporate communication strategy. I think it's a great position to have. There's also PolicyViz with John Schwabish. Mm-hmm. And Storytelling with Data by Cole Nussbaumer Nafflick,
who has a new book coming out. So hopefully we'll get to talk about that one at some point in the near future. On the podcast side, I listed three other ones. This Move Me by Sally Z. It's more about being the art of presenting. She's great. Her topics are good. This one is Pure Design. Design Matters by Debbie Millman is kind of like the must have, must listen to if you're just get inspiration on design with designer conversations. So not presentation design, just design. She's just a favorite. And then I kind of went a little business route. I have another one called Build a Better Agency. So it's all about the running of agencies. Not specifically to presentation agencies, but design agencies are design agencies. And I really, you know, that one's on my normal rotation. So there's my three that I added in there on the podcast realm. Nolan?
The Presentation Boss podcast from Australia. We've done a crossover with them, and also we also did a crossover with Joel and Anne-Marie Grillos, their podcast, which is why is the name escaping me right now.
I actually don't believe.
They're active.
Joel and Kate Presentation Boss are active at this point. I don't know when the last okay.
They're still available. All the past.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Presentation Boss. Their last one was a year ago. They kind of, you know, they got busy.
They're not as tenacious as you are.
Things happen. And I totally get it. But they have been guests on many other podcasts, both of them, and Joel has as well. So anyways.
Presentation Junkies. Apologies, Joel. So Presentation Junkies. And then Boris Herstov's World of Presentations out of Bulgaria. We've also had Boris on a few times as well. So there's more. I think we were the first, right? And then... lots of others have jumped in the pool as well.
Mm-hmm. We're still number one by FeedSpot.
Online articles and help. We've mentioned some sort of online training, but it's indezine.com, right?
It is. Right. Yeah.
Indezine. Yes. So that's indezine.com. That's got just a ton of stuff, just a ton of resources and interviews and how-tos.
I think it's the OG. I mean, seriously,
it's absolutely just massive.
It's been around forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Creative Pro, creativepro.com/presentations has a whole bunch of articles by me and others. And they just started sort of doing presentation a couple of years ago, adding that to their sort of Adobe content, but it's growing. So there's a lot of stuff there, videos and articles. And then Steve Rinsberg's PPT FAQ. You can again get that at
RD. That is the original, by the way. Yeah. Nothing precedes
from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the absolute end all of information about anything. If you need to know about PowerPoint 2000, this is the place to come to. If you need to find out about PowerPoint Office 365 yesterday, this is the place to come to. Technical answers on everything. It's amazing.
It is. Of course, there's Microsoft Answers, which for those of us who have been around for a while, it's not the best or the easiest to get your answers news group offered by Microsoft. The whole point there is you go online, you ask a question, and you have experts responding to you. Some of those experts are paid Microsoft, less than expert. Steve Rinsberg is on there constantly answering. He mm-hmm. is an expert. John Wilson is on there answering. He's an expert. I try to bop in now and then, but I get overwhelmed by the whole structure. So that's Microsoft Answers. There's the Experts Exchange. I know that Jamie Garok is very active on the Experts Exchange. And then Reddit, believe it or not, has a PowerPoint forum. I cannot remember what they're called in Reddit, but a thread, whatever it is. Again, go in, ask help. I love going in on that one. And yeah, it's easy to jump in, jump out. Sometimes I answer. Sometimes I just look and see if the problems are, because I'm usually on my phone and it's too difficult to answer. But it's fun. It's fun. Again, Steve Rinsberg is moderating that.
He is very active. Mm-hmm. He is making sure it stays on track. Two quick notes. I was going to say Reddit, Steve Rinsberg is there because he's one of the key moderators of the whole thing. And it's interesting because Reddit seems to get non-presentation people jumping in and asking questions. So they're not the same questions, which I find really fun. And then the other one,
I love it. Yes.
Microsoft Answers, outside the fact that it has become so, okay, I'm not going to phrase that properly. It's more difficult to use than it used to be. It takes a lot to get in there. Anyways, Microsoft made it go from a simple pinpoint thing to an old thing. But you know, I'm logged into it, and the top three things here created 3 minutes ago, created 17 minutes ago, created 13 minutes ago. And, I mean, it is still active. I mean, these are posts that are literally within the last hour. There's at least 7 or 8 posts or questions that have come up or been brought to the top again. So there's we're in other online. So I'm just going to say, hey, there's this, the PowerPointBlog.com is the longest running presentation blog out there.
With the word PowerPoint in it too.
Yeah, well, let's not bring that up too loudly. It may have been put in place before the lawyers thought to execute everybody else. Ellen Finkelstein, hers is a long running informational blog, and it's great. It's just literally her name, EllenFinkelstein.com. And then the MVP, the Microsoft has mvp.microsoft.com, and then you go into PowerPoint. It's mixed in. There's a lot of great stuff in there, a lot of online articles. And you know the one I didn't put the name of is the Office 365 blog, where Microsoft puts out their information.
News and information.
Yeah, I will find the link to that. But that's, when you go to the What's New area, you click any of the Find More, it's going to take you to a blog post for the most part from Microsoft people. So it's like the sanctioned, publicly available information, and it's really good resource as well. Definitely need to add that in. Another topic, category, Nolan, keep us going.
So we've got newsletters. Nuts and Bolts from Taylor Kronquist has a great, I don't know if it's regular or irregular. I'm not sure how often it comes in, but it came in this morning and I just learned something from it today. I didn't know that you can take a table in PowerPoint and hold the shift key down. And if you size it from the corner, all the text and everything inside it will size with it. So if you got a big table with big numbers and you need to make it smaller, half the page, you just do that. And all the text scales down as well, which is amazing. So I'm always learning stuff from that. Sandy.
See, folks, even the most seasoned people can learn things new every day.
Every day. I had no idea. Of course, Troy did. I did not know about that. So I just love it. I just love it. Okay. So there's Jude Barak's Presentation Design Magazine newsletter that I believe it's weekly or biweekly. Anyway, it comes in regularly. She's very good about it. It's curated content from the interwebs. So you don't have to go searching. She pulls it all together in one newsletter. How about you, Troy? Have anybody?
Newsletters. Mike Taylor does his Friday Finds. I've got that one. It's really cool. Newsletters. What other news? See, I get a lot of design stuff, but I don't get presentation specific. I didn't add any notes here. So I'm definitely on the lacking front of adding to this part of the conversation. So I'm going to say, let's go to our last category, which is basically the catch-all, everything else. Come on. What else we got out there?
Downloading online videos. There are a lot of free resources for that. We always need to do that. Again, there's a bunch on my resource list, but I like TubeNinja.net, DownloadHelper.net, which is a plugin for Chrome and Firefox, and Save the Video is a new one as well that I just discovered. Color palette generators.
Wait, what is Save the Video? I'm curious.
Save the Video is just another one. I think that one is more for, is that for Vimeo?
It is a downloader.
Save the Video, supposedly were a video, Vimeo, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram.
All the other sites out there. Oh, very cool. Okay, so, that's again, a great one if it works.
Your results may vary depending on things, but because it's very color palette generators and tools. Color.adobe.com
has
a lot of great stuff. But the one I use all the time is coolers.co. They've got a number of different tools. Like you can create color palettes. You can look for popular color palettes. You can sample from an image and make a color palette. It's really amazing. And then you just download the palette. I think it only does up to 5 colors.
Yeah.
But you can just download that right into PowerPoint and then sample, use your sample tool. And I keep meaning to email Jamie. Jamie, if you're listening, what if you were able to just sample things from a slide and instantly create your color palette? So just keep that in the back of your mind, Jamie. Save me an email for sending to you and Tavi.
Just a side note, the Adobe color.adobe, it only does 5 as well. Yeah, I don't know why. Office is designed on 6 tints, shades, and there's very few that do 6.
I don't know if 5, I don't know where 5 came from, if there's some rationale.
And the cooler one with a K also does 5. It's like everybody stops at 5. It says made digits on your hand, and that's as far as I don't know. Okay. Other options. We'll keep going.
DataViz, John Schwabish's policyviz.com has a whole bunch of resources. Just if you're interested, just go take a look. Storytelling with Data as well has some resources. But the one thing I really love about Cole's Storytelling with Data is the monthly challenge email. So sign up for the newsletter. You get this every month. They send out a challenge. Let's say everybody create, tree maps this week make a chart on something about sports, whatever. And then they get sometimes hundreds of submissions, and then they put them all up on a blog post. And send out the email, say, okay, here are all the submissions from, last month. And it's just an amazing, inspiration, collection. So you just, you can look through 100 tree maps and that's a cool way to do it. Oh, I like that color, scheme. So I really like that. Sandy, you got anything?
Well, first, there's my free presentation storyboarding PDF. And if you would like me to send this to you, just drop me a line via my website, presentationwiz.biz. And get in touch with me and I'll send something to you.
Fantastic.
I mentioned Synapsis Creative earlier. In addition to their eBooks, you'll find free assets and templates on their resource page. Similar to what Nolan said about Nancy's books, there's also all of her books plus the HBR. And I think, all books that are free plus her Harvard Business Review articles and everything are on there. There are the Presentation Guild job boards that used to be an exclusive members only option, but I believe anyone has access to that now. And LinkedIn Learning, I have a question mark about that one because I can't remember if you have to have a subscription to LinkedIn Learning, a paid subscription.
You
so I know
do.
I get it. Okay. So let's cross that one off the list.
Well,
go ahead.
hold on, let me think. LinkedIn is a free, yeah, LinkedIn Learning is an add-on to LinkedIn now.
I believe it is, yeah. Do you have any others, Troy?
Oh my gosh, what could I possibly add to this? Microsoft Cloud Fonts are free and everybody should explore the extensive library because there's not a really good listing. Microsoft has extended or expanded the number of font options and a lot of them are stylistically wonderful. I think that that's an underutilized resource. Please go beyond Arial and Calibri in your design, but safely. So using Microsoft certified fonts is definitely an option.
Yeah, my resource list has some other places for free fonts, but I rarely go to them. I mean, I just with Microsoft Cloud, like
yeah. It's safe to stay within that realm. I think this has been okay. It's going to take me like 3 hours to put together all these links, guys. But the show notes will have everything in here. Probably a few others that we didn't get to. Nolan, I'm just going to say your list though will be the top link because it's the inspiration for all this, and you do a great job of curating a ton of this. Hopefully you actually gathered a few things to
paint. I think I have some new ones. Yeah, I need to update it.
Okay, folks, free is almost always good. There are some instances where getting things for free is generally not. But, you know, in this case, it's all presentation stuff, free resources, free. Nolan's amazing curated list is where you should start. I will have all of these links. It's going to take me like 3 hours to put all this together on the show notes, but it'll be the number one item because it is literally presentation specific curated list. Nolan does update it regularly, right, Nolan? I mean, you just added to it.
I'll update it now after this episode.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some new things there. And you know what, guys, we're not going to even do pro and tech tips because this whole episode was a giant list of tech of pro tips. So we're going to do that. So I thank you everybody for joining us. This has been phenomenal. I've actually made notes on several of these and thank you for sending me the links to them. So we'll get them all out there and let's do a quick little sign off. Hi, this is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. If you have a virtual or hybrid event, we do lots and lots of those, vxpmeeting.com. And my blog has tons of information on presentation fun, so thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. You can check out nolanhamescreative.com for information on our training and design services. And also, don't forget about thebetterdeckdeck.com, which you can order as a physical copy, as a PDF, or you can get the actual PowerPoint source files. That's at thebetterdeckdeck.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. You can visit the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org or find me on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
Thank you for joining us for another presentation and PowerPoint conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com, where you can also send us episode suggestions, questions, or comments. Don't leave people out of the conversation. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.